Acts chapter number 8, verse number 25. Acts chapter 8, verse number 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, man of Ethiopia, and eunuch, great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, heard him, and read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? By the way, that's astounding. That ought to speak to all of our hearts. Here's a man that was already reading the Bible, already seeking something. He had only the Old Testament scriptures to read, and he was reading probably the best salvation chapter in all of the Old Testament. But sometimes we say, well, all we need to do is get Bibles in people's hands. They just read the Bible. How can I accept some man should guide me? How can I accept some man should guide me? You understand what I'm saying? And so what we need to do is understand that you can pass Bibles out to everybody, but you know what? God has ordained it such that for people to be saved, they need a human instrument to accompany the Word of God to explain to lost sinners how to be saved. Say, I don't believe that. Well, then why didn't he get saved just reading the Bible? Why did God have to pull Philip and interrupt the revival going on to Samaria to get him all the way out there into the desert? I'll tell you, because it's God's plan. We can try to wiggle out of it any way we want to, but it's God's plan that we carry the gospel to lost sinners. Amen. How should I accept some man should guide me? Verse 31, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Soul winners, isn't that fun when you come across somebody like this? They're ready. They're wanting it. Come up here. Sit down. Explain this to me. The place of the scripture which he read was this. And he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Notice this. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as he went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask for your presence here this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint the service this morning. Lord, our hearts have already been so blessed. It's just good to be in the house of God. And we pray, Lord, that the preaching of your word would go out in power. We pray for each and every one. All of us, Lord, are needy. All of us have something that we need. We may be aware of that. We may not be aware of that. But I pray, Lord, that whatever it is, Lord, that is the need of the heart today, that you would, Lord, provide that for each and every one here. Save that sinner closest to hell. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Philip was a man that was used of God. Philip was a man of used of God. Philip was a deacon. Philip later became an evangelist. You know, it happens that way a lot of times. You know, you just keep volunteering and volunteering and volunteering. God just notices that you're in the habit of saying yes. He just keeps giving you stuff to do. And at some point, he may just say, Hey, I'll tell you what. You seem pretty excited about this thing. I think I'll just call you into this full time. But Philip was one of those people in the church that I think in the early church that if you needed a job done, you just figured he might be a good one to do it. You just might seek him out. He was always ready to do whatever was needed to be done in the church there. I want to talk to you this morning about something that I call divine appointments. I think it's exciting. I think it's supernatural. I think it happens every day of our life, whether we understand it or not. I'm afraid that many, many times we miss divine appointments because we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. I believe there's a God in heaven that sets up in heaven and orchestrates all that goes on earth. I believe, folks, I'm sorry, but I do not believe in coincidences. I do not believe in circumstance just working out. I don't believe in luck. I believe that there is a God in heaven who is orchestrating things. And if we'll listen to him, there are such things that he has for us. I call them divine appointments. Divine appointments. And I think that God is always... Now, what is a divine appointment? Well, maybe we should put a definition on this. In the sense of salvation, in the sense of winning people to Christ, I believe that a divine appointment is when a Spirit-led soul winner is directed to a Spirit-prepared center. When a Spirit-led soul winner is directed to a Spirit-prepared center. Now, I think there's divine appointments that doesn't involve salvation. But I think that there's times when God speaks to your heart about going to a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ because God knows that they have a need. There's a need of their heart, a need of the hour, and he may direct you in that way. But I think there's nothing more exciting when you are involved in a divine appointment that involves the eternal salvation, the conversion of a lost soul to Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a minute, I've lived quite a long time and I'm searching back in my memory. I don't remember these divine appointments. Well, folks, let's challenge our hearts this morning to be the type of Christian, the type of person that when God's looking for somebody to do a special job and deliver a special message, that we'll be the one that God that comes to the mind of God because we have proven to him through our obedient life that when he speaks, we'll go whether it makes sense or not. First of all, I want to draw some points about Philip and focus on some points about Philip. First of all, Philip, number one, was a man of instant obedience. Instant obedience. We'll go back to the 8th chapter, verse 5 through 8. Maybe you'll notice. Let's jump back there and notice. We'll read a little bit about Philip. Philip was a man of instant obedience. God knew that he could count on Philip. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5, it says, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame and were healed. Folks, Philip was already in the habit of being obedient. You say, wait a minute, did Philip hear some direct voice at this point? Did he hear some specific leading of the Holy Spirit? No, I'll be honest with you. I believe Philip was just carrying out the general command of the Lord Jesus Christ, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, folks, you say, well, listen, if God would speak to me, I mean, if the Spirit would speak as powerfully as he did to Philip, if God would interrupt my day and some voice or maybe a paint across the sky so I could see it, some message, I'd do what he said. Listen, you won't obey God then if you won't obey what he's written right down here in this book right here. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what God does? God takes people that are already being obedient, already busy about this matter of souls, and then when he knows he can trust them, he knows they'll do it, and then he selects them from that group and brings them into positions where they then fulfill these divine appointments. I like this. Chapter 8, verse number 25. Could we look there? Chapter 8, verse number 25 again. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, preached the gospel in many villages of Samaritans. Notice he's already busy. He's already busy. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. Notice this. And he did what? Well, he said, Lord, I'll tell you what. Let me check my day planner here. Lord, I'll tell you what. You know, I already promised this and I already promised that. And I've got this schedule and that schedule. Good night, you know. Good night. This is a night. And man, live. I got to see whether the Cubs are going to win or not. You know, I can't be interrupted with this stuff. Lord, I've got this life planned out. I'm sorry, Lord. I've looked my schedule over, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to squeeze you in. It's looking good for about June or July. If you've got a job then, and now listen to me, folks, that's not how we treat God. That's not the way we're supposed to treat God. God comes to us, and he has a perfect right. He is our God. He is our Lord. He's got a perfect right to interrupt our day. He's got a perfect right to turn our lives inside out. He's a perfect right to say go, and we should go. Amen. Amen. He's our God. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, arise and go, in verse 27, and he arose and went. Oh, if we could be that obedient. I like verse number 29. I wish we could get excited about obedience. I wish we could get excited about it. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip what? Amen. Amen. He didn't stand around trying to figure out, sorting through his bushel basket of excuses why he's not the person for that job. The Lord spoke and he ran. You know what? I think there's a reason God went and got Philip for this job. You know why? He knew he wouldn't have to take 3 or 4 days fussing with him. You know what? If he had to fuss with him for a week, this guy had already been through and gone. I wonder how many divine appointments. I wonder how many intersection appointments. I wonder how many crossroad appointments in somebody's life we miss just because we're dragging our feet in this matter of obedience. Parents, listen to me. You know how you end up one of these days having children that are obedient to the Lord instantly when they're adults? You start training them as a child to be instantly obedient when they're children. Children, you listen to me. If it's not instant obedience, it's disobedience. Did you hear me? Well, I finally did what Mom said. I didn't disobey her. Listen, if it wasn't instant obedience, then it's disobedience. Mom shouldn't have to fuss with you for 15, 20 minutes to get you to do a job. She shouldn't tell you 3 or 4 or 5 times. Now, listen to me. This is important. You say, well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because if you'll treat Mom like that, you'll treat God like that one of these days. You'll treat Dad like that, you'll treat God like that one of these days. If you'll treat the teacher at school like that, you'll treat God like that. You'll treat the boss like that. You'll treat everybody like that. And you know what? You're always going to be lagging behind, and God's going to say, you know what? I'd use that person, but I don't know if I can count on them or not. Listen, this is pinpoint accuracy. This is divine appointments. I've got this sinner that I've been preparing for a lifetime, and he's going to come to this point where he's willing to receive the gospel and willing to be reached, and I've got to find somebody that's Johnny on the spot. I've got to find somebody that's used to obeying. I've got to find somebody that's used to doing what I say when I say it. I've got to find somebody that's thrown away their bushel basket of excuses and just says, here am I, Lord, send me. Amen. And that's why there's some Christians that enjoy these type of miracles, have these kinds of testimonies, see these kind of results, because they're not walking around always expecting, well, you know what, it's not my job to do, that's a preacher's job to do. Not my job to do, it's a Sunday school teacher's job to do. It's not my job to do, it's a deacon's job to do. You know what? If you want to spend your life doing that, you can do that. But you're going to miss out on some divine appointments. You're going to miss out on the blessing of being involved in that. And you could cause somebody to go to hell for not being where you need to be, doing what you need to do, and obeying God. Listen, why don't we just make a decision here this morning? If you're saved, why don't you decide that God is God and God is the King? Why don't you decide that God really, really, really does have a right to tell you to do something and you're supposed to do it? I mean, who's God? Who's God? I'm convinced to most people God is a genie in a bottle. I'm convinced that God is like the butler, that when they want him, they pull up their bell and ring their little bell and God's supposed to come running. Oh no, we're having a bad day. Oh no, we got a tragedy. We need God. Okay, they're going to go, come here, God. Here, God. Come on, God. I need you. Fix this, God. Please fix this, God. Thank you, God. Go away, God. Watch this. Watch this. We're not supposed to be the one with the bell. We're not supposed to be the one with the bell. He's got the bell. He's supposed to ring it. We're supposed to run. We're supposed to run. Here I am, God. Yes, sir, God. What you need, God? The problem is, we've set ourselves up as God. How dare you suggest, preacher, that I'm supposed to alter what I've planned, what I'm not suggesting. I'm telling you, God has a right to do with your life anything he wants to do. He should tell you where to go. He should tell you what to do. And you should say, yes, sir. What a novel idea. God being God. Wow. Imagine that. Imagine this. The creation obeying the Creator. What a neat idea. But we need to get a hold of this. Run. Run. I like these teenagers around here. They bug us to death. I mean, in a good way. You know, they come to me all the time. Pastor, you got a job for me to do. Pastor, you got a job for me to do. And the problem is, if there's two guys and you tell them the same job, I'll tell you what you can do. Go do this. They'll almost kill themselves to see who gets there first. You watch them do that? It's like they can't walk anywhere. There's all this pent up nuclear energy in them, you know. I mean, you know, teenagers are, they go through a phase where they're like the bionic man, you know, the Energizer bunny. I mean, you know, they got everything, you know, just everything's just, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, I can't run as fast as they can run. But when God says go, I still ought to run. I mean, buddy, obedience ought to be top speed in the right direction. Amen. Well, this is good for us, isn't it? Instant obedience to God. Instant obedience to God. Dr. John Rice said, if it's not instant obedience, it is not obedience. Boy, that was good. Thank you, Dr. Rice. That's true. Philip was a man of instant obedience. Number two, Philip was a man busy after souls. He was already busy after souls. We read about how he's involved in the revival in Samaria. Verse number 25, we read about how he's involved in all these other meetings all across Samaria in the different villages. God had a divine appointment for him. He'll always find somebody that's already busy to give him a job. How many times have we said that over and over and over here? He'll find somebody already busy to give him a job. You know that's true in the ministry a lot of times. You know, the honest truth is, if you want something done and you know that, and I know for sure that I have to have it done and I need somebody reliable, if I go find the busiest person, usually they'll do it. You'll say, Pastor Jerry, that's crazy. That's crazy. Why don't you use somebody that's not? Usually the people aren't doing anything. I have to check 15 times to see that they did do it, and then I usually have to redo it. And you know what? God's no different. That's the truth. If you got to chase somebody around and chase them, call them 15, and you might as well do it. But it's amazing when you find somebody that's already busy for God and they got all this stuff, and you know what? Because they don't look at it as, oh, they gave me a job. They say, hey, they gave, guess what? Preacher gave me this great opportunity. And it's just how you look at things. I mean, find a busy man and give him a job and it'll get done. Find someone who's not busy, give him a job, you'll probably have to go 15 times to make sure it gets done. I'm just telling you the truth. Let's keep our kids busy. Keep them busy, sir. Get them used to doing things. Listen, let's get off the couch. Get off the couch. Let's do something for the Lord. Find busy people. Find busy people if you want something done. Now, God is setting up this divine appointment. This is exciting. What is a divine appointment? When a spirit-led soul winner is directed to a spirit-prepared center. Folks, this is so big. This is so big. Could you for a minute just use your imagination and could you put yourself up hovering above the earth? And as much as our little finite minds can do it, let's imagine for a minute that we're God and we're looking down and we're orchestrating all of these things. See, folks, all of our little lists to do seem so important to us and we've got to do that. You know what? There's a bigger plan going on. You know, God is in the business of trying to bring people to himself, and all across the nation, God is trying to take and work in people's life and send circumstances to people's life, sometimes tragedy, sometimes other things, just to get their hearts softened up, where they get in a position where they're finally listening. And he's getting that person to a point where they're going to be easy picking. They're going to be ripe fruit. They're going to be ready to be saved. But he's got to direct the soul winner there. He's got to get somebody to go there. So he looks around. He's trying to figure out, okay, how can I get, well, who do I have in the area? Who do I have that when I tell them to do something, will do it? Who do I have that will, when I tell them to do something, will argue with me? Who do I have when I tell them to do something, will run to do it? I mean, where is that obedient child of God? Because I've got this whole thing set up. And at this point, in this place, this person needs to make an intersection with this person so that they can get saved. That is going on all the time. That's exciting to me. To get up every day and say, Lord, you know what? You've got something going on that's bigger than any plans I have today. You've got something eternal in the works. And Lord, I'm so carnal and I get so distracted so easy. Lord, please, don't let me get so caught up in the details of life that I walk right past somebody that you want me to speak to. And the Holy Spirit's screaming, stop, talk to them, give them a track. Stop a few minutes, shake their hand, find out their name, stop it. And I just go right on by and miss those divine appointments. Philip was led of the Spirit of God. Every single person here this morning that's received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. One of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is in this matter of directing you to where you ought to go. Directing you to where you ought to go. Yesterday morning, Brother Harold showed up to visitation, and he had a burden about a friend of his, and he went and said, seen Pastor, and said, Pastor, you know what? I would feel good if you would go with me. I feel like there's a friend here, and I don't think he's saved, and I've got a burden for him, and God just keeps burdening me, and God just keeps burdening me. God keeps just burdening me about it. And so, look this way, folks. And so, you know, I want to go see. And listen, you know what? God, the Holy Spirit, prompting. You know something? Have you ever thought about this? If the Lord just keeps bringing somebody to your mind over and over and over and over, you ever had that? I mean, maybe you haven't thought of them from weeks and months, maybe even years. You haven't thought of them, but all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit they just keep popping in your mind. You think about them. Do you think that that's just a coincidence? Do you? I think that God's trying to do something. There's a need there. There's a reason that God keeps contacting you and putting this person's picture in front of your face. I think you ought to do something about it. You know, I found this out. And boy, I'm not a good example of any of this, but I found this out. If the Lord keeps bearing witness with my heart and bearing witness with my heart and bearing witness with my heart about a certain individual, then I better stop what I'm doing and I better go see them, or I better call them on the phone if they're too far to go see. But I need to do something, because that person's being put on my heart for a reason. Rusty and Sarah Biber, that was here for a while. Most of you remember them. From time to time, but long before they ever came here, when they were still in Sistersville, from time to time I'd be sitting in my office. And Brother Rusty, by the way, faithful, just kept plowing and planting and working in a very difficult area down there in Sistersville, West Virginia. And every once in a while, just every great once in a while, I'd be at my office and I'd be working, and I'd be working on something, and I'd keep thinking of Brother Rusty, And maybe I hadn't thought about him in weeks. And finally, I was sitting there, and I remember one time I was trying to get some work done, and I took my Bible and I shut it like this, and I finally said, "Okay, Lord." And I picked the phone up and I called up, and Sister Sarah answered the phone, and I said, "Sarah, I got to talk to Rusty." And she just started crying. And she said this, she said, "Pastor Jerry, how do you always know when to call?" And you know what I thought? I don't. I'm as dumb, and God has to kick me around and almost have to aggravate me into doing right. Well, I got under conviction about that. God, thinking, good night. If God starts putting someone in my heart, I shouldn't act like God's interrupted my day. That's maybe what that whole day was supposed to be looked for. That one moment is the only thing, maybe eternal, that's going to be the result of that entire day. And I'm fussing with God because he's interrupting me. I got under conviction about that. I got on my knees afterward. I talked to Brother Rusty and prayed with him. And he was going through a very difficult time. And thanked me over and over and over again for calling. And I got on my knees. I said, "I'm sorry, God. Why do we wrestle so much with God? Oh, to be like Philip. Just to have the Spirit of God whisper and say, boom, there you go. Run to whatever God's directed you to do. The divine appointments. The divine appointments." Now, folks, listen to me. I think that what we need to be aware of is that God has divine appointments that he wants each and every one in this room to keep. And I'm talking about this very week. Now, I mean it. It may take an entire lifetime for God to work in an individual's life to get them to that point in time where they're reachable. And God may have invested 30 or 40 or 50 years of circumstances and working and breaking down that and plowing up that old hard heart and that old hard ground, and he's gotten them to the point where they're willing to listen, and he's trying to find somebody that will make these interceptions. That's exciting to me. I get up every day not knowing what's going to happen. Lord, there's somebody out there you want me to see today. There's somebody out there you want me to influence today. By the way, it's not just those intersection points where you get to be there the day that they're converted. Sometimes it's you going along the way and being in the preparation process. Some planted and some watered, and God give the increase. Can I tell you, every one of those intersections is just as important as the moment that they got saved. They all build up to that. Amen. See, it could just be a matter of you paying for the gas and looking in that young lady's eyes or that young man's eyes and then walking away, and the Holy Spirit convicting and prompting and saying, "Listen, you didn't give him a track." And you may go back and give him a track, and they may take it and just seem like you bothered them. Okay, fine. And shove it in a pocket and almost seem aggravated. And it's tempting, Brother Chuck, at that point to say, "Well, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the Lord. I mean, you know, fire didn't fall from heaven. The lady didn't grab my hand and start crying. Open the track. What must I do to be saved?" It may seem like nothing. But you don't know what she's going through. You don't know what he's going through. You don't know after work he may get home or she may get home, and they may be at the end of their rope. And they may reach that pocket and there's that track. Let me tell you something. God works that way. Another planting, another watering, one other person, one other Christian making these points of intersection, these divine appointments, until they're prepared to the point where they're hungry and they're ready to be saved. I think we need to be busy doing that. I think we need to be busy doing that. It's exciting. We went visiting last Wednesday, and we got to see two people saved on visitation. Had some great visits on visitation. And Brother Tom Walton got to lead a lady to the Lord. And it was one of those moments where you just say, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know sometimes where God wants us to go. But I never just make a decision. God, I never just make a decision without involvement. I don't ever just say, okay, I'll pull this map out and we'll start here. I always take that piece of paper, we're starting on a new city, and say, okay, there's the city. And listen, I think God's a God of order. I think God wants us to do things in an orderly fashion. But at the same time, I always pray about it. Say, God, you know, we usually work this direction and work through this neighborhood here. And we usually go down through here and do the visiting. And the honest truth is, I'd already made up my mind that we were going to start on the south side of Sullivan and work this way up. Brother Tom, when he pulled out of the driveway here, he went right instead of left. A lot of times we'll go through High Mare and Shelburne to go to Sullivan. He went over here to the triangle, went through Duggar and headed in that way. I grabbed my map and I said, well, Lord, I guess you're changing the plan here. It's kind of silly to go all the way through Sullivan and start at the south end. So what exactly do you want us to hit? And I felt like I looked at it and saw it and felt like, well, we'll go here. We'll send a group into here. We'll send a group into here. Listen, folks, I don't believe all that's by accident. I think God's... Listen, we're pretty dumb. We're pretty dense. Sometimes God has to do a lot of things to get us in the right place at the right time. But I think God had a lady waiting there behind a closed door who was willing and ready to be saved. And he just needed to orchestrate that thing and get this dumb preacher to get to the right area at the right time. Get the kids out there in the right area. Not only was that lady saved, another young lady was saved. One of our teenage girls got to lead to Christ. Now, folks, that's big to me. Man, I'm driving home and I'm thinking to myself, I was a part of something eternal. I was a part of something supernatural. I was part of something that was bigger than probably anything that I'll ever do in the whole rest of this week. I got to be a part of, just a small part of seeing that somebody got saved. I think that's enormous. I think that's why we're here. I think that's why we're here. Keep going after those divine appointments. Keep going after those divine appointments. Dad got the news 11 o'clock. Or 10 o'clock or so yesterday morning, got the call from Brother Market, and he came to me and said, well, I'll tell you what, I was already scheduled to be gone the next two Sundays. He said, boy, I don't know. I told Brother Jerry I'd call him back at 11 o'clock to tell him something one way or another. And he said, man, I hate being, you know how much I hate being out of the pulpit. He said, I hate to be gone 3 weeks in a row. He said, I don't want to disappoint the people. I said, whoa, Dad, whoa. I said, what's God want you to do? What's God want you to do? He said, Jerry, I think I need to go. I said, you know what? There's no other discussion. All we got to do is figure out what needs to be arranged so you can get down there. Say, Lee Robertson got laryngitis. I suppose God knew that was going to happen. I suppose maybe God knew that he was going to lay Pastor Ross on Brother Market's heart. I imagine maybe God knew the message that Dad's going to bring down there. I'm sorry, but when things like happen like that, I don't get all shook. Oh, no, our plans are ruined. I don't feel that way. You know, I think something good's going to happen. You know, so he gets things organized and takes off. Well, you know what? That sets other things in motion. He was supposed to be here preaching this morning. Now I'm here preaching this morning. You know, I don't, listen, I know that God from eternity past knew that I was going to come and preach this message on this morning. And he knew it long before I did because I didn't know till 11 o'clock yesterday morning. Amen. I think something good's happened. Brother Abel calls up. Bus broke down. I'm stuck over here on the highway on 48. Amen. I want to say, Brother Abel, I'm trying to find a Sunday school lesson and a sermon. Good luck. You're on your own. I didn't get advance notice, neither do you. I'm calling around trying to arrange people to run over there and pick kids up and all. You know what? It's amen. You know there's a reason for everything that happens? Brother Abel said, well, I got to meet the guy here. I went up and knocked on his door, the guy that I'm parked in front of his house. He says, fine, I could leave it there. And, you know, folks, I know Brother Abel. He'll give that guy the gospel. I'm telling you, he'll give that guy the gospel. You know, sometimes God has to do some pretty awesome things for us because we just don't listen very good. And, you know, just because, I mean, Angie and Tim Sagers here are sitting back, right back there because God just one day, she was driving home and God just went like this, pointed his finger and sent a lightning bolt right through her engine and just killed it. So I'm convinced of that. And here along behind them come Big Tom Dapper. He pulls over behind him, doing the Christian thing, just doing the Christian thing. And then, of course, not only helps her get her car going and takes care of that situation, tries to help her place, and God has just miraculously let me see firsthand why he had me there, and just astounding things happen. And I've had God impress me the same way and go to a street and knock on every door and find nobody home and go back to my car shaking my head going, what was that all about? I was convinced some great thing was happening. Why did God, did you so impress me? But I left a track on every door. And I think God in heaven's just saying, just shut up. Stop trying to figure this whole thing out. You're one little speck down there on a whole planet. And I'm up here and I got the whole... All you've got to do is just when I say go, run. Amen. I get in my car and say, yes, sir. Amen. And you know what? I don't know, but I'm convinced that one of these days when I get to heaven, I'm thinking about the street. I'm thinking about the town. I was so burdened. I don't know why, but I was so burdened for a whole week that there was a certain street on our visitation day that I needed to go to. And I was hoping to come back with some fabulous story. And you know what the story is? Nobody was home and I left tracks on every door. Well, that's not very spectacular. Oh, one of these days you're going to know the rest of the story. I'm convinced of that. Listen, there is no act of obedience to God when it involves trying to get the gospel out. That's not part of a master plan. If God burdens your heart to do, listen, last night, I'll be honest with you, this whole thing came and Dad was rushing out of town. I was trying to get things ready for him. And Hannah comes to me right before the bowling activity and says, Dad, we're still going down to Cunot, right? And I looked at her and went, that's today? Guy about a year ago called me, and me and Hannah, we did this 2 years in a row, and make our little pilgrimage to Cunot, Indiana. You say, where's Cunot, Indiana? It's on the other side of Poland, Indiana. You go through Poland, you wave at all the Polacks, and then you go on to Cunot, you know. And there's a little church over there in Cunot. The honest truth of this year, and we found it last year, this year, I drove, it's a town, it's not a town, it's, I don't know what it is. It's a bait store and three houses or something like that. And I just went, I think there's a tavern there, of course. But I went right through it looking for Cunot and got about 4 or 5 miles the other side and finally said, I think we went too far, stopped and asked somebody, oh yeah, you passed it back there and went back and found Cunot. I'm gonna be honest with you, I was tired. I had a rough week. I had to be Mr. Dad and Mr. Mom all week long, you know. Yes, it was a hard week. It was. I know it. I'm glad there's a few of you around here that appreciate that. I did all of this stuff, and now Dad's running out of town, you know, and then I'm thinking, oh, man. I'm thinking, well, I got this guy, and you know, he's got a youth rally. He tries to invite a few churches, and usually there's just a handful of kids showed up. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking of every reason in the world just to pick up the phone, but I'm thinking, you know what? God said, run, son, run. You just go. So we got done bowling. I did marvelous, by the way. Why are you laughing? I had two teenage boys beat me in bowling. That's not right, I'm telling you. I did rotten the first game, worse the second game. Third game, I come up with a new philosophy. Don't roll it, throw it. I just loft that baby about halfway down, you know. That way it's only got half the lane to roll off on instead of the whole lane to roll off on. At least I look up and see if the gate's down or not. We won't go there. Got to the point when I went up to the desk and to ask the guy for something, he'd look up and say, what'd you break now? Place will never be the same. Where was I? What was I saying? Bowling. Yeah, Cunot. Got home. I went in there. And by the way, it's so interesting. I knew all week long when I was supposed to preach there. I mean, I knew it was coming, but I just didn't compute Saturday. You know, so I grabbed the sermon that I thought that I was going to preach there. I looked at two other sermons real quick, two or three other sermons. And I never do this. I usually, when I go somewhere to preach, I decide what I'm going to preach. I take one message, and you know what? I that's what I preach. And maybe that's wrong, but I usually just decide, and that's what I preach. But I grab three sermons, and I walk in there with three sermons in my Bible. How you doing? Boy, we can't wait to hear what you're going to preach. I'm thinking, I can't wait to hear you. I have no idea. And last year when I went, it was just probably about 20 kids. They were all saved, you know, their core kids from about two or three little small churches. And so I had two sermons in there, one that I was convinced I was going to preach, another backup that I thought I would for sure preach if I didn't preach the other one. For Christians, then I threw this other one almost on a whim in there, a sermon I preached called Hide and Seek that's really a salvation sermon, but just a little bit to Christians. And there was a little girl there. I say a little girl, teenage girl, and she came in. And the pastor's like, hey, this girl's name's Katie. And I said, okay. See that big group she's got with her? Yeah. I said, her birthday was actually a week ago. But she postponed and planned her big birthday party for this afternoon, invited all her friends. So that part of her party is for when the bus comes by to pick her up, all her friends get on the bus and come here tonight. And I said, are a bunch of them lost? And he said, well, some of them are, I think, saved. Some of them go to a kind of liberal church where they're saved. But I know that there's some lost people there. And I'm thinking, all right. And then I sat back there and I watched the service and see how everything is and kind of check out the audience and all of that. And the Lord kept impressing my heart to go this other message. Make a long story short, I get up there and preach. And God gives us a wonderful, wonderful service. Many Christian teenagers on the altar, just sweet. But two girls come up out of their seats, come walking right up here to the platform. Had raised their hand saying, you know, I'm not saved. I need Jesus. And got to talk to them for a few minutes. Hollered back there and got to the youth pastor's wife and another one of the girls that are going in Bible college. And they came up and they're sitting over there. And I'm sitting on the platform kind of just, you know, just up there watching all this. You see the Christian teenagers over here. I've already turned the service over. There's a little girl sitting on the step over here being dealt with. There's one on the front pew being dealt with. And I'm just sitting there, folks, with goosebumps like I've got right now saying, you know what? There is nothing greater than just being a part of this master scheme that God has going on. And just to feel like that you get to just contribute a little something to it. But God said, I need you and I need this particular message for this particular night and I need you to be there, so run. Does he have other preachers? He's got other preachers. But what God needed that preacher for and that message for that night for those two kids. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Now you may never stand behind a pulpit to preach, but I'm going to tell you what, you can reach as many souls as any preacher ever has if you just listen. I didn't reach them girls. That little 14-year-old girl reached them girls. And I even told those kids during the invitation, God was working my heart even about this very thought. Even though I knew I wouldn't be preaching this morning, I'm sitting there thinking of this. And I even said during the invitation, I said, some of you from eternity past, God knew that you would be here tonight. Some of you are 14, 15, 16 years of age. The honest truth is, your whole life has been orchestrated. Everything that happened to you, all of the tragedies, all of the heartache, all of the things that you don't understand, all the things that have caused you hurt, everything in your life has brought you to this point tonight, because tonight for some of you is that one night where you're going to meet God and your life is going to be transformed. And I wasn't just saying words, I meant it. Now folks, listen to me. Let's not forget to be a part of the biggest thing that exists. And that's God's plan of what's going on. The master plan of God, the divine appointments. God used a man that was already busy after souls. Divine appointments are special occasions where God lets you see the results. Listen, when you're witnessing, look for prepared people. Listen, don't waste your time arguing with people. Don't waste your time with people that aren't interested. I'm not saying don't give them the gospel. Don't leave them a track. Get the gospel to them. But so many times I think we're spending an hour arguing with some hard-boiled Jehovah Witness at this door, and three doors down there's somebody who's standing sitting behind the door crying that's ready to be saved. Listen, go look for, you're not going to argue people and get saved. Go look for the one that God has ready for you. There's nothing quite like a divine appointment. I wonder this morning if there might be somebody in this room this morning. And the honest truth is, everything in your life has built up to this day. And I mean right now, there's something going on inside of you, inside your chest that you can't really explain. There is a working of God Almighty going on in you. There's the convicting power of God. You know you're not saved. You're not sure if you go to heaven. And God has been working all your life to bring you to this point. And he's brought you here this morning, not by accident. He's brought you here because he wants you to be saved. Christians, let's get back in tune. Let's retune this receiver. Retune our spirit to start listening again for the direction of the Holy Spirit in our lives this week. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Oh Lord, please. There's something so much bigger than anything that we can see or hear or do or know. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be instruments of use, people of instant obedience, people of excited obedience. Lord, I want to pray for that one or two or three or four that may be here this morning. And Lord, they need Christ. They need God. And you brought them to this place for this time. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to receive you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray.